to find a copy of the authorized version of the Word of God in the pew in front of you. Pick it up and turn to the first gospel, the gospel according to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Turn to chapter 8 and look with me at verse 23. The 23rd verse of the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What are we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. Amen. And God will stamp his infallible word with his infallible seal of blessing. Turn with me, please, to the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel. The 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel. It is interesting to note that the devil wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ before he was able on the cross to give expiation for our sins by the shedding of his precious blood. And if you study carefully the Old Testament, you will find from the day in Eden's garden when man fell and when God gave the promise of a Savior, that the seed of a woman would bruise the serpent's head. the devil commenced a war to destroy Christ in his coming and to destroy the nation through whom he would come. First of all, there was that attack upon the human race when the angels tried to mix themselves with humanity, and which brought about the curse of the flood. When the angels, the sons of God, saw the daughters of men and tried to mix themselves into the human race to so corrupt this race of ours that Jesus Christ could never be incarnated in the flesh. And of course, when we go on through Genesis, the second attack, which Abraham witnessed, that the Canaanite was then in the land. These great giants, which were the result of the mixing of demonism among humanity. Then when we come through the Bible, we find the attack upon Abraham's seed, because Christ was to come through Abraham's seed. And then we come to Abraham's seed in Egypt and Pharaoh's attempt to wipe out all the males of the seed of Abraham. We then come into a further place in the Testament, the Old Testament, where we see the concentrative power of the devil to destroy the royal line of David and pollute the same. And right on to the book of Malachi, there was attack after attack against the royal seed. You think of the days of Esther, when the plan was laid to destroy all the Jews on the face of the earth. Why? So that the incarnation of Christ would be made impossible. But the battle was won by Almighty God, and one day the angel came to Mary and told her that she would be the woman that would be incarnating the blessed Son of God. And from the day of Christ's birth to the day of his death, Satan tried to destroy Jesus. Study the gospel. After his birth, the terror man of the Jewish people, old Herod the Great, decided he would kill the Christ child. He failed. And then after him, in the temptation of Christ, the devil said, "Cast thyself down." Satan wanted to see Christ killed. But that did not succeed. Then at Nazareth, when he preached his first sermon, the whole mob rose up and took him and brought him to the face of the cliff on which that city sits, and attempted to throw him over, but he escaped out of their hands. Tonight I want to draw your attention to this scripture. When in this ship in which Christ was sailing, there came on a great storm. It was no ordinary storm. It was a storm generated by the demons of hell and by the power of the pit. It was a plot to drown the Son of God and to destroy his followers. But it utterly failed, for that blessed Savior stood in that little boat that was filled with the water of Galilee, and he rebuked the wind. Now the Lord wasn't just rebuking wind. He was rebuking the ones that were behind the wind. That was the devil. And he rebuked the sea. He wasn't just rebuking the sea. He was rebuking the one that caused the storm. And suddenly, there was a great calm. But the battle wasn't over. Because when they arrived, on the other side, two fierce, devil-possessed men met them. And no man could pass that way. Well, thank God Jesus Christ passed that way. And the devils were cast out. And the same demons that brought about the waves and the storm, they themselves were drowned in the waters of Galilee's lake. But Jesus Christ went on to the cross to offer himself without spot to God. I leave you to study out for yourself the many other occasions that the devil took from this time of Christ's life to Calvary, to kill him, to kill the Son of God, and to keep him from making that full and free outpouring of his blood, and to bear our sins and endure their curse upon the cross. But thank God all his plans were destroyed. He failed. He failed in the garden. He had seized upon Peter. He got Peter to draw the sword in order to cause an attack by the swords of the men that Judas had brought upon the body of Christ. He thought, of course, that the soldiers, when they saw Peter drawing the sword, they would have drawn the sword. And Christ would have been killed in the garden. But Christ had set his face to go to the cross. And when he came to the cross, what was the first thing they offered him? They offered him the poison cup. The cup that would alleviate his pain and make him unable to bear bodily in his body our sins and to suffer from them all. But Christ refused the cup. And when they hung him up, they said, as we heard in Kyle's sermon last Monday, they said, "Come down from the cross and we will believe in thee." But Jesus didn't come down. He was the unsaved Savior. To save us, he must die. And so he did. And in his death, he made full atonement for our souls. And then when he was in the grave, Satan wanted to keep him in the grave. And there was the soldier set. And the tomb was sealed. But thank God, up from the grave, he arose. And he lives today in the power of an endless life. So the attempt here in this chapter was an attempt to kill Christ. before he got to Calvary. If you look with me at this chapter, you will find seven views of the Lord Jesus. If you look at the first verses, you will find that Christ was the setter of all the events. His plan, His purpose, His setting was carried out. It was Christ and Christ alone who dictated the circumstances of what is recorded here. It was Christ that said, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." It was Christ that led them to the boat, and it was Christ that brought them into the boat. Christ set the place, the other side. He also set the pace, how they were to travel. For Christ is the setter of all things. He controls everything. There's not a dot in providence or a stroke in providence of which He is not the author. All things work together for good. Why? Because Christ is the setter of them all. Then notice, secondly, Christ the sleeper. And as they sealed, Christ fell asleep. But remember what Christ said. He said, "The only sign that shall be given to this ungodly generation is the sign of Jonah, because Jonah is a type of the Son of Man." And what happened to Jonah? He went for a seal upon a ship. And Jonah was awaked out of his sleep. And then he told them how they could get a still and a calm. He said, "If you throw me overboard and get rid of me, then there will be a great calm." And they eventually threw him overboard, having done their best to row to shore and having failed. And immediately Jonah hit the water. The waters were calmed. And the sea was calmed. And every one of those ungodly men were converted to the true worship of God. Read the story for yourself. But Jonah was swallowed by the fish, specially prepared. The preacher was to go for 3 days and three nights into the belly of the fish, for he was a type of Christ who for 3 days and three nights was to be in the heart of the earth. Christ, the stops, the settler, the setter, Christ the sleeper, Christ the storm stopper. Ah yes, Jonah provided a way of safety to those that were crying out. So did Christ. But please note, when he was wakened, he didn't jump up. First thing he did was to rebuke the disciples. When I was studying this scripture yesterday, I was greatly attracted to that fact. And he rebuked them before he arose, lying there, wakened from sleep. And before he put his foot out to stand, he rebuked them. For those that would fight for the Lord Jesus Christ must have absolute faith that He is the great and glorious captor of our salvation. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Lord, Save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, without getting up, he said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then it says, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And these men that were fearful started to marvel, and they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Yes, he was the storm stopper. I'm sure all of us who are saved remembers the storms that we had in the days when we followed the devil and did his devices and walked the broad road to hell. But thank God those storms are past. There's a great calm in our hearts, for the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sins, and the blood can make 10,000s clean. And the blood, dear sinner friend listening to me tonight, can make you clean if you put your trust in that precious blood. And then the fourth view of Christ here was that he was the Son of God. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And then in verse 20, those two men full of devils said, Jesus, thou Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. They got across the sea safely. They arrived at the other side, but the devil wasn't finished with his attack. He had two emissaries on the shore waiting for them. Two very evil men. Two very, very evil men. And they, no one could pass them. But Jesus dealt with them in his power and in his mercy. And the great thing about them, when we read the other two scriptures that you will find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 23, and in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 37, you will find that something wonderful happened. And what was it? It was Christ who became the sovereign. He is in control of all the demons. The master of hell himself, Satan, flees away when Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master of all things. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And thank God he can deal with every intruder and everyone that fights against him. So we have Christ the sovereign. I command you, go! And those demons of hell had to go, every one of them. Nothing can stand before the mighty commands of Christ. I trust, sinner, that Christ will stand in your life and in your heart tonight and command sin and Satan to go and bring you into his family, the family of God. And then we read, if you compare those scriptures I have mentioned, we read that the man who was so wonderfully delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to be with him. He wanted Christ to be his constant companion. He wanted to have him with him. But the Lord wouldn't allow him to be with him. The Lord said, no, You're not coming with me. I am Christ the sender, and I am going to send you back to your home, back to your family, back to your friends. You are going to go, and you are going to witness. Would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8? And it says, the whole, verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things God had done for him. What wonderful things God does for the soul that puts his trust, his or her trust, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Return! Witness! Tell others what great things God has done for you. Christ is the sender. He sends every one of his people to witness to his power. And thank God he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make 10,000 clean. His blood avails for me. And when we come to that other great chapter, the 5th chapter of Mark, and we read about it, we find what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he returned, he was gladly received by the people, for Christ is the satisfier. He satisfies all that come to him. I must personally testify tonight, I'm satisfied with Jesus. He couldn't do anything more for me than he had done. He can do for you exactly what you need. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make 10,000 clean. His blood avails for me. May it prevail for you tonight. Sinner, hasten to the cross, and kneeling there at Calvary's cross, redemption will be complete for you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence and for thy holy word, and we pray that you'll write it on every heart for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen.